Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Do we have any true believers in the house this morning? Amen. Real believers. Even though it's not popular. Even though it's not widely accepted. Even though it's not politically correct. True believers in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I believe you. Amen. I believe that you are a group of believers and you've come today to believe and worship and praise the Lord. Amen. And the beauty of holiness. Amen. To lift up the name of the Lord. God bless you. We're so glad to see each and every one of you. What a beautiful and glorious day that the Lord has given us this morning. Time to meet together. Amen. Well, just give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you would. Amen. Just want to get into the Word of the Lord this morning. Amen. How many loves the meat of the Word? Have your Bibles with you this morning. Go with me to the book of Philippians. The writings of the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 10. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy and precious word. Again, from the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, to come into your presence this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, for each and every soul that's made their way this morning. God, and I pray, Lord, that you would just bless and anoint. God, just send your power down in a magnificent way. Father, I pray that we would be in one mind and one accord this morning, receptive, submissive, and obedient to your will and to your word. Father, I pray that you would anoint this vessel. God, anoint these lips of clay this morning. God, just to be a mouthpiece and an oracle for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. God, we do remember those who are suffering, those who are sick, yes, and those who are afflicted, those who have lost loved ones. Father, we pray that you would be a comfort to each and every one. God, bless those who are traveling. Give them safe journeys. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you just fill this sanctuary with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell them how much you love them. You may be seated in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You better love your neighbor. You're going to spend an eternity with them. Amen. That's all right, ain't it? Amen. You better learn to love them down here because you're going to be stuck with them in heaven. Praise God. If I had a message topic this morning or a title, it would simply be two words, press on. Press on. The Apostle Paul here makes a statement of commitment. How many know sometimes that we need to make a statement of commitment? Not necessarily in the ears of an audience of those that are around us, but for our benefit. We need to make a statement to commit ourselves to Christ and to his service and remind the flesh of just whose we are. Amen. Remind the flesh of there's nothing in this world, amen, that can separate us from the love of God. And we need to lay aside those things or be willing to, as the Apostle Paul. He stated that he was willing to lose all worldly gain, basically, to follow Christ. Verses 7 and 8 tells us, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He goes on to tell us that we need to learn to forget those things that are behind, and press toward or reach forth for those things that aren't before us. You got to understand what a statement and what courage it took for the Apostle Paul to make this statement, because he had a very checkered past. He had a past where he worked against the Lord. He had a past where he worked against the crucifixion and against Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as our Lord and Savior. He was committed to do what he thought was right, but how many knows he was headed in the wrong direction? Can we identify with that? I certainly can. Many times in my past, I thought I was okay. I thought I was as good as the next person. I thought that it was all about God's love, and he was just going to open up his arms and welcome me into heaven whenever that time came. But little did I realize then that that particular time, it had nothing to do with my goodness. Had nothing to do with what I had the ability to do. In fact, it had everything to do with me accepting Christ Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And know the price that he paid on the cross of Calvary and what crucifixion cost him on my behalf. And I thank God that he pricked my heart. I thank God that he convicted my soul. He turned me around. As David said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, and he set my feet on a solid rock, and he established my goings. How many remembers the day or the night that Jesus Christ convicted your lifestyle, convicted your soul, and brought you out of the doldrums and brought you out of that wilderness journey, amen, and set you on a high place with him? If you remember that time, if you're thankful for that time, then put your hands together and give the Lord praise, amen, for the price that he paid on Calvary, and that he cared enough to die for you and me. The Apostle Paul states that I may know him, that I may know him. Can I share with you this week, there's been an intensive thought process upon my heart and upon my mind and upon my spirit to be more in tune with the Lord. To know him better than I've ever known him. Not just know about him, not just know about his goodness, not just know about his saving grace. And don't get me wrong, I don't discount all of that. All of that is wonderful, and I thank God for that. But you know what? I've been saved for a number of years. I've been filled with the Spirit of God for a number of years. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just thanking the Lord that he loved me enough, amen, to save me and to fill me with his Spirit. But you know what? I got to thinking, I need to know him better today than I knew him years ago. I need to know him better today than even when I opened up my heart's door and accepted him to come into my life and change my life and fill me with his Spirit. I need to know him and know how to walk with him and know how to commune with him and know what his will is in my life and know that my mind and my heart, amen, is in unison with the Spirit of the Lord. And let me tell you something. Those things don't just happen. They don't just happen by chance. It takes dedication. It takes commitment. And the Apostle Paul realized here, he was thankful for his conversion. And we know about the conversion of Saul and how he later became Paul and a great instrument. And even when the time that he was persecuting the church, the Lord had his hand upon him. He was leading him and guiding him. And let me jog your memory just a little bit. Many times when we were out in the world, we thought we were doing our own thing. But many, many times the Lord had his hand upon us. He was just leading us and guiding us. And many of us, it took us a long time to find the right path. But thank God, he didn't give up on us. Thank God, he kept loving us. Thank God, he kept pointing us, amen, to that pathway, amen, of where we would lay aside every weight and sin and follow Jesus. And the Apostle Paul was not different in that fact, that he had a very troubled past and a very checkered past. One that you might think that God would turn his back on Paul and never accept him. But can I give you a little ray of hope this morning? Things that I've heard in my ministry, when people would come to me and say, Pastor, I would love to have a change in my life. I would love to be able to go to church and to put Christ first in my life. But you just don't understand my past, Pastor. You don't understand the things that I've been involved in. And I'm afraid I'm too far gone. I want to give you a little ray of hope this morning. I want to tell you about a thing called grace. I want to tell you about a thing called mercy. I want to tell you this morning about the forgiveness power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, your wife may not forgive you. Your friends may not forgive you. Your family may turn your back on you. But if you'll commit your life to Christ, He will not only forgive you, He will save you and wash you and make you white as snow, the Bible says. You ought to thank God for that this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. That I may know Him. That I may fully understand Him. That I may move and operate my spirit, amen, to coincide with the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to tell you this week, it has caused me to take a great inventory of my life. Lord, I want to be closer to You than I've ever been. Father, I want to know Your will in my life. Lord, I don't want to slack up. Lord, I don't want to coast into heaven. Come on. Hallelujah. Listen, I remember when I began this journey. I remember the excitement. I remember the gratitude and the thankfulness that was in my heart. I remember the transformation. I remember the first night I went to sleep after the Lord saved me. That was the best night of sleep I'd ever had in my life, because I wasn't worried if I didn't wake up tomorrow. I knew where I was headed. I knew my destination. Amen. If you can't rightfully tell me your destination today, you need to know Christ. Amen. You need to know Him better. You need to know Him intimately, and not only know about Him, but know He is alive and well in your life this morning. I don't have to tell you the things that are happening in the world today. They're happening so rapid, amen, that lets me know the prophetic word of God is coming to pass, and it makes me realize, Lord, I want to know You. I want to be with You. I want You in me. God, I don't want to err from Your word, and I certainly don't want to depart from Your will. Oh, that I may know Him. I know He knows me. Amen. He knows me. Out of all of this multitude of people in the world, He knocked on my heart's door. That's the reason I know He knows me. Amen. He knew me ever before I was born. When He was on the cross of Calvary, He knew me. Amen. And He knew I couldn't make it by myself. He knew that I was too vile. He knew that I was too sinful. And He took that cross. Amen. And He was nailed to that cross for my sins. I know He knows me. But I want to know Him. I want to know Him. The Apostle Paul realized that the worldly gain up until this point was fruitless. I want you to understand something. You don't have to give up everything for Christ. You just have to be willing to. Amen. Those who have given up worldly things for Christ, amen, have always been blessed in multiple ways. Amen. After that, many, many times, God gives us more than we could ever think about giving up for Him. But we need to understand and know, this one thing I know, I got to make it. I got to press on. I got to keep going. Glory to God. I can't quit. Come on, church. I got to press on. Come on. I know the world's in bad shape, but I got to press on. Amen. I know it's not popular, but I got to press on. I know many people will disassociate themselves with me. I know a lot of people even look down on me. Even poor, pitiful Eddie. You know, he never has any fun, but I got to press on. Let me tell you. Oh, he doesn't get involved in the things of the world, but that's all right. I got to press on. Amen. I got to press on when I don't feel like it. I got to press on, amen, when it don't look good. I got to press on when things are not going right in my life. Let me tell you something. Press means to comply or apply a steady force. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Many, many times we put that shoulder to the burden and it won't budge. Let me tell you. Many, many times we don't even try it the second time. We'll run against it sometimes. But can I tell you, the best way to
to move that object is by applying steady force. Amen, I'm not giving up. Amen, I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep applying force. I'm going to press on. Brother Eddie, I don't feel real good today. I'm going to press on. Brother Eddie, the devil's been on my back this week, but I'm going to press on. Brother Eddie, my body is suffering pain and affliction, but you know what? The Bible tells me I'm going to have a glorified body, one that's without pain, one that's without, I'll never suffer death anymore. There'll be no sickness there. So I'm going to press on, brother. I'm going to keep on going. And no, I know it's not the right thing to do according to the world. But I'm not quitting. Come on, I'm not giving up. Glory to God. One more river to cross. One more mountain to climb. One more valley I got to go through. Amen. Glory to God. Hold into his nail-scarred hands. Hallelujah. There's one thing I must do. One thing I must do in order to press on. Can I get really, really frank with you this morning? This is something that probably each and every one of us wrestles with. One of the most hardest and difficult things for us to do is to get beyond our past. I was speaking to some people this week, and it's amazing. I love the confirmation of God. I just, because the reason I need the confirmation of God is I don't trust me. When I'm looking at a scripture, or when I'm reading something and something goes off in my heart and my mind, this would be good to preach on. I don't trust me. Because I'm saying that just may be something I want to preach, but I want to lean on the Word of God, and I want to lean on the anointing of God, because God knows who's going to be in the congregation, and God knows what needs to go out. So I trust the Lord, and as the Lord began to speak to me this week, and this thought came to my heart and to my mind, I didn't know how I was going to get it together. You ministers know what I'm talking about. I just know that I could not get away from this thing in my heart to let me know that I need to be better than I was yesterday. I need to be more mature than I was last year. I'm not talking about a physical nature here. I'm talking about a spiritual relationship with the Lord. Church, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but it's time many of us grew up. Come on, it's time for many of us, amen, begin to dig into the meat of the Word. We've lived on the milk and the honey of the Word of God for so many years. We haven't grown like we need to. And let me tell you something. There's times coming when you're going to need the spiritual meat of the Word. And God, I desire that. As I begin to pray, and God, help me to be the person. Help me to be the servant that you would have me to be. And as I begin to talk to others, This topic came up about the past, and seemed like the songs that I would hear on the radio would talk about the past and the transformation and the change that takes place in our life. Thank God for the change. Amen. Let me tell you something. I'm glad for the change. And as I began to speak to people, and the one thing that they all seemingly had in common was the fact that their past torments them. Even though many are saved, even though many have a walk with the Lord, their past seemingly becomes an obstacle in their ability to really reach forth for those things that God has in store for us. Can I tell you, you're not alone. The devil would have you to believe that you're lost, that you are at a point in your life where even Jesus cannot forgive you. But all of that is a lie from the bottom of pits of hell. If anybody that we know could have been as tormented about their past, it would have been the Apostle Paul or Saul in those days. He was present at the stoning of Stephen. He was responsible for hauling men and women and children out and binding them and taking them to Jerusalem and throwing them in imprisonment, thinking he was doing right. Now the Lord has convicted him. And Jesus Christ has saved him. and given him direction to go to a man's house named Ananias, and he lays his hands on. I like what he said, Brother Saul. We need more of those in the church, by the way. I said, we need more of those in the church. Glory to God. Instead of saying, who in the world is that? Hey, brother, we're glad to have you in our church. Amen. Sister, we're so glad that you came because, you know, we're not here to judge anybody. God never called me to be a judge. He called me to be a servant. He called me to be a minister. And that means one who attends to the needs of others. If anybody comes to our doors, amen, we don't need to try to judge them. We need to call them brother and sister and say, let me lead you to Jesus. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. Just because we've changed inside sometimes, amen, those that we hung and run with, they don't know what to think about us. Hello? Oh, he's got religion. No. You can have religion all day and still down and go to hell.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, religion ain't going to get you nowhere. Preacher might hug your neck, shake your hand. You need salvation. Hey, praise God. I got salvation. Glory to God. I tell you, religion just calls you to sit in the church somewhere. Amen. But salvation, amen, to get the church in here. Here to get Jesus Christ in here. You can have church driving down the road when you got salvation. Hallelujah. Is that Saul? Is that Saul? Man, we better steer clear of him, you know. Let me flip over before I get too fired up here. Go with me to the book of Acts. See if this don't jog your memory a little bit. You remember how it was after you came to Jesus and you left the comfortable confines of the church and the brothers and the sisters that was with you, and you went back to your daily routine, your job, your school, whatever the situation, whatever the environment was, and you were so excited, and you go, and all of a sudden, you don't feel that. Because those around you are not nearly as excited. And they want to get you back down to what you used to be. You know why? Because they don't want to be convicted by your spirits. Let me tell you something. Many of us say, I don't know how to witness to people. Just let Jesus shine in your life. Amen. That'll be a witness to folks. Amen. He'll give you the words to say. And certainly that was the case with the Apostle Paul. And let me tell you something. That's one thing to be uncomfortable out there in environment. Amen. But a lost person, after their life has been changed, doesn't need to feel uncomfortable in church. Man, some of us forget that the Lord forgave us. Some of us forget what we used to be. Some of us don't want to speak of those things, but we want to be judgmental on those who have just been saved. Can I tell you, if they come in at the 11th hour, they're just as saved as you are by the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. He doesn't look on it like we do. So Saul here, after his conversion, and in verse number 26 of the 9th chapter, it said, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed or wanted to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. I can't believe Sister So-and-so got saved. I even thought she was too hard a case for Jesus to save. Well, I just want fellowship with her. Or him. Shame on us. Shame on us. Hallelujah. I love the verse number 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Barnabas said, wait a minute. This is not the same Saul that you were accustomed to knowing. There's been a change in him. Oh, there's been a conversion. I want to tell you today, this is not the same old Eddie, amen, that you knew before Jesus came into my life. I may look like I used to, amen, I may walk like I did, but there's been a change in me. Glory to God. I don't walk the way, I don't talk the way that I used to, because Jesus is now Lord of my life. Thank God for Barnabas. We need some Barnabases in the church today. Amen. To welcome those people in, to love them, declare unto them, take them and nurture them. Take a walk down memory lane. When you first was converted and convicted in your soul and came to Jesus Christ, I will assure you, in most probability, there was some precious saint in the God in the church that took you under their wing and began to expound unto you the Word of God, begin to teach you and nurture you and love you. Amen. That same spirit that was upon Barnabas needs to be in the church today. Amen. Let me tell you something. You remember when you were a young convert, you needed that constant attention. You needed that love. You needed that reassurance. Amen. You needed that commitment of a saint of God that would love you and take you and welcome you in. Because the disciples were afraid of Saul. They was afraid that he hadn't really had a change in his life. And now we find the Apostle Paul in his writings to the church at Philippi. And he's talking about the things that you must be willing to give up. And then he reminds himself of the number one thing that torments him. This is the writer of the epistles. This is the man that God purposely chose, amen, to bring the Word of God to so many Gentiles. On his missions, as he started churches and he reached out to people, countless number of people were saved because of the Apostle Paul's preaching and the anointing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Who once was the very one who thought it in his will and strength to kill those who love Jesus. That tells me to know that the Lord can save you in spite of your past. Regardless of your past. But the Apostle Paul, he was tormented, I'm sure, by his past actions. And this, I want you to think about this. Not only is it not easy for us to get over our past, but it's not easy for those others to get over our past. Sure, that's a hindrance. Because they don't understand the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. They don't understand that those things that you did, those things that you committed in your earlier life have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You must believe in order to receive. Amen. You got to be a believer. You got to believe that Christ died for your sins, but you got to also believe that he washes those sins away through his mercy and grace. And many, many times, I would imagine the Apostle Paul said, you know what? I got to make a conscious effort to put those things behind me. Because Jesus forgets them when he forgives you. But we're merely human. We still remember those things. And can I tell you, so many times, you may be saved. You may be filled with the Spirit of God. You may have a ministry upon your life. But many, many times, Satan is constantly confronting you with the things of your past. And if you're not careful, that'll cause you not to reach out in your ministry like you should. Not to get the victory like you should. Not to feel like you are a part. Amen. To feel unworthy. We are unworthy. But that righteousness that is within us has caused us to be worthy. Not only worthy, but heirs and joint heirs to the kingdom of God. Not because we earned it, but because Jesus loves us that much. It's time that we, the church, put those things behind us. And time that we begin to press forward and press on for Jesus. Glory to God. No, it's not time to slack up. No, it's not time to ease up. No, it's not time to be complacent. No, it's not time to sit comfortably in our church. No, it's not time to slack up on our prayer. No, it's not time to read less of the Bible and the Word of God. No, it's not less time to have Bible study. It's more urgent today than any day that we've lived in. Oh, that the churches would come together. Hallelujah, that we would unite, amen, in the knowledge of Christ and quit preaching schisms and divisions and start preaching the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There needs to be revival in the land. Hallelujah. We talk about winning saints. I think we need to revive the saints before we can win new saints. Glory to God. God, give me the desire. Lord, give me the excitement. Give me the zeal. Give me the energy that you did when you filled me that night with your Holy Spirit. God, set me on fire. I don't want to just be a spark. I want to burn for you, Lord. I want your light to illuminate within me. I want to lead people to Christ. I want to love folks rather than point out their problems and issues. We don't need hatred in the world. There's hatred already. We don't need bitterness in the world. There's bitterness already. The people in the world are looking for something different. And we have something different within us. We have Jesus to share with them. But we must press on. We must press on. Hallelujah. You have to press on when you don't feel like it. You have to keep applying that steady force. Hallelujah. I know we get confused. I know we get perplexed. We don't understand how that people can be so evil. We don't understand the perverseness in the land today. We don't understand how that people can spout off hatred and spew these things against one another. But let me tell you something, folks. Even though it's rampant in the world, it doesn't need to be in the church. It doesn't need to be in the saints of God. Amen. Give me that forgiving spirit as you did, Jesus. Amen. You know, I had somebody ask me, so what do you do when somebody keeps coming up before you and you just can't get over it? I said, I try to do like Jesus did. I may not agree with what they've done. I may have been hurt in my life by what they did to me. But as Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, hung on the cross of Calvary, and he looked down to each and every one of those who beat him and who humiliated him and who plucked his beard and spit on him, and he could have said, Father, send the angels of heaven down and take them off of the face of the earth. But he looked down upon them and with mercy and grace and love, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. For they know not what they do. Oh, give me a love like that. God, give me a forgiving spirit like that. Lord, and I know it's going to take me pressing on. Keep going. Press on, church. Press on. Don't slack up. Don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable in the things of the world. And let me just pause just for a moment. There's a saying, get over it. The Apostle Paul had to get over it. He had to get over it. Let me tell you something, how severe it was. The Apostle Paul would more probably have some in the audience, some that he would love and fellowship with him, remembered they may have been in the audience when Stephen was stoned.
Come on now.
And they may have been very difficult for them to forgive Saul or Paul now because of what he had done in the past. But church, I must remind us, if Jesus has forgiven, then we must forgive as well. We must forgive and we must accept them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Get over it. Get over the pain. Get over the hurt. Come on, press on. Press on. Hallelujah. You know the best way to treat an enemy? Just forgive them. Just forgive them. Lord, they're in your hands. Lord, just save them. Save them and love them as you did me. But by the grace of God, I would be that person. But by the grace of God, I would be in that condition. Father, just love them and save them and forgive them as you did me. Because I got to press on. I got to press on. I got to keep going. Amen. Maybe not as fast as I used to be, but I got to keep going. Come on. May not be as strong as I used to be, but I got to keep going. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've come too far. My feet have gone through too many rivers. I've crossed too many mountains. Hallelujah. God has brought me through too many situations. Amen. For me to ever start doubting Him now. So this one thing I do, I'm going to forget those things that are behind me, and I'm going to press toward that mark. Glory to God. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not there yet. I believe if we be completely honest with ourselves this morning, we're not there yet. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven, but we're not really there where we want to be with Christ yet. Amen. Because I believe with all of my heart, you can get just as close to Jesus as you want to. But you got to be willing, amen, to do certain things. You got to be willing, amen, to make sacrifice. You got to be willing to be committed. You got to be willing to be dedicated. You got to be willing to put Him first over everything else around your life. Amen. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm not there yet, but I'm not giving up. I'm pressing toward that mark. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. By the mercy and grace of the Lord, I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because I will assure you, amen, when our feet touch those golden streets of heaven, hallelujah, you're not going to think about those bad situations that you had to endure. No, you're not going to think about all that overtime you had to work. You're not going to think about Monday morning. You know, I know we have church on Sunday night, but you know what? We'd probably be better off if we had on Saturday night. I know. I used to have to work for a living, and I used to have to get up early on Monday morning. Sometimes I couldn't get my mind on serving the Lord. Thank you, Lord, have mercy. I got to get up in the morning. But let me tell you, once we cross that old spiritual Jordan, once we enter into the kingdom of heaven, we're not going to have to worry, amen, anymore about getting up early or staying up late or whatever. Glory to God. What a wonderful place heaven's going to be. And it's because of Jesus. Amen. And because He doesn't remember our past, He washed it away. Church, press on. Press on. If you don't remember anything else, I've said press on. It's easy to press on when you're in church feeling the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. But you got to press on during the week. Amen. Well, you got to press on when you sit across from the doctor's office and he shakes his head. You got to press on. Amen. You got to press on when you look at your checkbook and say, oh my Lord of mercy, what day of the month is it? What week day of the week is it? You got to press on. Amen. You got to forget those things. God will make a way. If He'll clothe the lily of the fields, He'll put clothes on you. If He feeds the bird of the air, He'll feed you somehow, some way. I believe that with all of my heart. If we'll just be willing to put God first. Many, many times Satan's trying to get our mind on things of the world to get it off of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you think he comes against the saints so much? Amen. Because he doesn't want you to have victory. He doesn't want you to press on. He doesn't want you to get stronger in the Lord. He doesn't want you to be more dedicated. But I got news for it. This one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind me. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going forward by the grace and mercy of Jesus. God bless you, church. I love you so much. I want to see each and every one of you in heaven. But I also want to see you living a victorious life here. And that's going to make commitment. That's going to take commitment to Christ. Amen. Press on. Keep going. Keep going. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Not because that I am anything, but because He is everything. Amen. Would you stand this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Saints of God praying. Are you really where you want to be spiritually? That's about as plain as I can speak it this morning. It's caused me to take a look at my spiritual life. It's caused me to take a look at my ministry. It's caused me to take a look at my commitment and dedication. And I can see some negligence there. I can see some hesitancy there. I can see some things of the world man, I'm not saying necessarily sin. I'm just saying obstacles that sometimes block the blessings that God wants to bestow upon His people. And I want to purge those things from my spirit. I want to purge those things from my mind and put them where they ought to be, behind me. And I want to press toward that mark. I want to keep on pressing on for Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you want to come to this altar is always open.